Freedom isn't free, but the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast certainly is. The Medicare podcast inspired by Heavy Rescue 401. And now, the only Douglas he knows who was named after Douglas MacArthur, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Ooh, boy, this is one chilly place to live. I'm back in Illinois, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And after taking about 2 weeks off and traveling across the country, I'm up in the frozen northland of Illinois. Of course, it's the middle of June in 2021, so probably it's not as cold as I would be leading you to believe. But it's still, after driving across the country and seeing the condition of my beloved Hampton Inns, who have all been let go to waste, and then remembering what things were like, it's depressing. It's depressing to be here. Anyway, as you heard Drew McMillan say, this is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, probably for today and maybe the rest of the week. I am here to help people feel comfortable about making the transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And the sooner you can leave Obamacare behind, the better off you're going to be financially. And I, once again, talking about driving across the country, when I was a little kid, my family put together a deal that fostered the beginnings of Holiday Inns. And when I would travel with my parents and my grandparents around the country when I was a kid, all the Holiday Inns were brand new and they were fantastic. But as the years went by, the maintenance levels kind of dropped. And then I have discovered Howard Johnson Motor Lodges. And they were fantastic. They were all new. They were all in beautiful condition. They had the great Howard Johnson's restaurants attached to them. And then somehow after a few years, somebody screwed that up and they all went away. And more recently, Hampton Inns and Holiday Inn Expresses took over the marketplace. And when you drive through the country, you see them actually in pairs at almost every exit. So I was so excited. I'm always so excited to get out on the road, but this trip was very depressing. We stayed in three Hampton Inns on the way back, I think it was, and they were just depressingly dirty, although they said they were sanitized for my protection, and they were not maintained well. And I believe that they're just falling apart. I don't know if they can reclaim themselves, if they can reclaim the revenue streams that they used to have that supported their excellent physical plants. But I might have to find another chain of hotels to pursue. I don't know. It's very disturbing. Anyway, I'm about to introduce my compadre, Randy Carson. But before we do that, I think we should ask Randy to play our 30-second radio spot that explains why we're here. Enough of me whining. Let's listen to me whining about Medicare.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. That was excellently timed. I'm so happy. And in fact, why don't you join our little festivities here? Randy Carson, how are you?
Well, thanks, Doug. I'm here. I'm missing you out here in Arizona.
Well, you know something? I wish I were there, and I'm looking forward to coming back in just a few months.
How many months?
Well, okay. Now you're pinning me up. If I had my druthers, it would be next month, but it's June now, and I'm told that the course of cosmetic dentistry that I have to undergo is going to take 3 months to minimum to heal and to be properly finished. So it may not be more, it may be 4 months. So what would that be? July, August, September, October.
Yeah.
And I remember last year, podcasting at Halloween, and it was snowing, and I was so worried about the safety of the kids. What are they going to do? And then I realized their parents had them all wrapped up, you know, and saran wrap and masks and everything. So nothing bad was going to happen to them last year. So I'm not looking forward to seeing any snow on the ground. I'd rather get back to Arizona before that happens. So that's a pretty long answer to your question. How many months?
Well, I very much appreciate the update, because I always look forward to when the Joneses roll back in across the border of Arizona. They don't make a lot of noise, but obviously I track them all the way. I have ways of tracking them where they're at, and which Hampton Inn they're staying in, with a restaurant called the Greasy Spoon of the Hampton.
Well, I haven't seen that one yet, but I'll let you know. I'm going to be back there at the earliest possible opportunity, because I love Arizona and I'm not a big fan of Illinois.
Well, you'll never guess what I've got in mind for today, Doug.
I'm guessing you're going to give me a weather report.
You want to hear one?
Oh, I always like to hear what's happening.
I don't want to see any tears running down.
It's too late. I'm cried out.
Okay, well, it's 90 degrees, 15% humidity, barometric pressure coming in at 29.85, with winds out of the west at 3 miles an hour.
Music to my ears. 90 degrees is perfect for working on the Corvette. You know, I had to leave the Corvette behind.
Oh, my God, yeah. I know. I told you where you could store it.
I know.
And you just didn't have time to do it.
That's right. That's right. So, frankly, I'm gonna be hurrying back just to renew my acquaintance with the Corvette at the earliest possible opportunity.
Well, I would highly recommend that.
Now, it looked like you had something else on your mind besides a weather report. What might that have been?
I do. You remember a good, obviously a great friend of our podcast, Dominic Regina?
Oh, boy. Super fan Dominic.
I have had
You're not going to tell me he croaked, are you?
No. We have an entirely new gig going between Dominic and I.
I hope it's profitable.
Dominic is going to start acting as my writer for the podcast.
And, no kidding. And
in the way of, you know, when I say, you know, stump the insurance expert.
Yeah.
Dominic's going to start submitting some questions for you, and I have a few today. I'm going to start out with the easy ones. I think you've probably got all of these right on the top of your head, but we'll see.
I know Dominic is a friend of the show, so he would not give me anything that would make me look stupid, I hope. So let's go. Let's jump in with both feet.
Let's go. Okay, here we go. You're going to know this one right off the top. In what year was the first production Corvette rolled off the assembly line?
1953.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Now I've got one that you probably weren't around for.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What was the first type of insurance to be offered in the United States?
Oh, geez. I was looking for a Corvette question. Okay. Switching gears. Oh, boy, Dominic, you sly devil, you. Switching gears. I'm going to say ship cargo coverage, inland marine. Wow, what the heck? What did I screw up there?
The first insurance company in the United States underwrote fire insurance and was formed in Charleston, South Carolina in 1735.
Wow, okay. That's like 100 years after people settled there, so it took them a while to figure that out.
And it was a few years before you were born.
A couple of years, but not that many.
Now, well, I think you did real well. You got one and you dropped one. So,
yeah, 50%. Okay, is that it for today?
That's it for today. I'm going to save the harder ones for later. But thanks, Dominic. I'll be looking for our next bundle of questions.
Thanks, Dominic. Frankly, I'm not happy about being made to look like an ignoramus, but if the shoe fits, I will happily wear it, and I just hope you're not paying them a lot, because this show doesn't have that big a budget that we can staff it up fully.
I know. But you know what we got to do now, Doug?
Let's do some Medicare stuff, shall we?
We got to do some Medicare stuff.
And you know,
let's get after it.
Let's get after it. In the time since you and I have chatted, I've had a bunch of people want to become my clients. And it seems as though they ask the same questions that people have for time immemorial. And this latest one is no exception. I was contacted. Well, it kind of reminds me of Becky. Becky is one of my recent clients from about a month ago. And she and her husband live in, we're in Texas, on the east, you know, on the Gulf Coast of Texas, Houston. They live in Houston. And I'm really happy to have her husband, especially as a client, because he is an oil man. And I believe anybody that produces petroleum for me to burn in my classic cars is a real hero in America. But Becky is quite the little firecracker, and she has asked me all kinds of questions and stuff. And in our next episode, I'm going to address a subject that she brought up to me. But I've got a new client in Washington, so 2,000 miles away, and she is the same type of personality. Millions of questions and just way too bubbly for her own good. So her name is Sandy. She is the female half of a married couple. They're going to have their 50th anniversary next year, I guess. And her husband is a Boeing lifer. And so he's fixing to retire. And at some point, they're going to go on Medicare because of his retirement. And so I'm talking to Sandy, and she's got a million questions, and she gets up early in the morning to concoct the questions. And so I'm smacked right in the face with him when I get up. But her latest thing was about the difference between, now they're older, they're pushing 70. So they're able legally to have Plan F as opposed to Plan G. Most of my other clients are just turning 65, and Plan G is the only thing they're allowed to have. But because Sandy and her husband are a little older, they, you know, he worked later, longer. And so they're old enough to have qualified for Plan F if they want to buy it. And so, of course, the question is, we want Plan F, don't we? And I'm saying, well, now you may not once I crunch the numbers for you. So I took my three favorite companies that I use in Washington State, and I laid them out. I laid the rates out, the monthly rates for Plan F and Plan G. And that's where I started the comparison. And you know, if you've read my book, you know what's coming down the pike. Eventually, I'm going to get to that high deductible plan, and I'm going to want to steer them in that direction, because I believe for healthy people, that's going to be the best deal for them. So I started with the, let's decide between Plan F and Plan G. And my chart with them that I put together shows that Plan F is a lot more expensive than Plan G. So, and they have unisex rates in Washington. And so what's happening here is that Plan F costs $50 a month more than Plan G. Now, you may recall that the only difference between the two is that Plan G has a $203 annual Part B deductible. And that goes up a few bucks every year. It never goes down, at least not that I've seen, but who knows what can happen in the future. But right now, it's around $200. And so to buy a plan that covers 100% of everything, the gold standard, the Cadillac, is Plan F, that costs $600 a year more than Plan G, which only, the only difference between the two is Plan G does not pay that $200 annual deductible. So I say, why spend $600 more than you have to be protected against a $200 deductible? So my sales pitch to this couple is forget Plan F. And plus, there's a lot of talk in the industry about Plan F rates increasing much more quickly than Plan G rates. So anyway, this woman came back to me and she said, now, does this mean that Plan F is off the table for us? And I said, well, no, it's not off the table, but let's look at it another way. I'm going to bring up Plan High Deductible. And in this company that I like very much, the high deductible Plan F and the high deductible Plan G are priced exactly the same. In this case, $44 a month. as opposed to $239 a month for the Plan F, regular Plan F, $239. And high deductible plan is $44. So then I said, let's consider buying the high deductible plan versus the regular Plan F. Based on the rates I showed you, the three companies, Humana's Plan F was the least expensive at $239 a month. And that's a total of $2,868 for the year. So let's say $2,900 almost. And that's what you would pay for sure, because you're going to pay that $239 premium month in and month out. And the total would be $2,868. If you bought the high deductible Plan F from a different company, from United American, which had a much lower high deductible rate, the annual expense would be $528. So the difference between $2,868 and $528 is a savings, an annual savings of $2,340. Now, let's suppose that somebody got real sick and had a major series of medical expenses. Well, they would have to pay the Part B deductible, which is, you know, Part B pays 80%. You're expected to pay 20%, but you've got a Medicare supplement plan. You can have a Medicare supplement plan that pays 100% of everything, and you can pay $239 a month for that. Or you can have a Medicare supplement plan that leaves you exposed, that helps you, that allows you to share the risk with the company to a limited extent, and you can pay $44 for that plan. It allows you to share the risk with the company, but when it reaches the ceiling, you will have spent $2,370, and then you will pay, you'll get a 100% plan for the rest of the year. So what you've done is you've rolled the dice that you're not gonna have a really bad year for medical expenses. But what's the worst case scenario? If you do have a bunch of medical expenses, and that bunch would be $12,000 or more of medical expenses. So the 20% works out to be about the high deductible plan deductible. That deductible, basically, you're rolling the dice on $40. The deductible is $2,370, but you will have saved $2,340 in this example by choosing the high deductible plan rather than the regular Plan F. So I've never seen a situation in which the choice is so clear. The high deductible plan, even if you're sick, even if you're expecting to go through surgery, to take anything other than the high deductible Medicare supplement is to just throw money away. You might as well take it out in the backyard and set it on fire, because when you pay the exorbitant premium for the high deduct or for the regular Plan F, you are guaranteed to spend a certain amount of money during the course of the year. When you pay the very, very inexpensive premium, the $44 premium for the high deductible plan, then you are rolling the dice that you won't have any huge medical expenses and that you will save a potload of money. And I'm hoping that that was a clear explanation. I don't know. I'm throwing numbers out here, and I know it's difficult for people to glom onto numbers unless they're holding a crayon in their hands and they have a piece of construction paper to write on. But Randy, I'm hoping that wasn't a confusing period of time I just spent yakking about the various plans.
I do have one question, if you might.
Oh,
okay, well, we're getting calls already.
Yeah, people are going, I hate that.
I hate that answer. But anyway, I do have one question. It's probably a bigger question than it is a smaller question. But you mentioned early on that this particular scenario, the high deductible Plan F and the high deductible Plan G had the same premium.
That's right. Right? That's right.
So now, again, sorry, but I'm a programmer, so I have to know all the answers.
Okie dokie.
If what would be the advantage, if any, of having the high deductible plan F versus the high deductible plan G if the premium's the same?
If the premium is the same, I would go with the high deductible plan F, because when you get, if you have a whole bunch of medical expenses and that $200 deductible that your plan G doesn't pay for, that will be credited. So it's basically, you're going to get a $200 little boost in your coverage. But, you know, it's pretty immaterial when you're dealing with $12,000 or more of medical expenses. That $200 gets lost in there. And yeah. I guess that's their rationale behind pricing both products the same way. But with a plan G, a high deductible plan G, you're not going to get credit for that annual $200 Part B deductible. But with the plan, the high deductible plan F, you will get credit for it. So your share of the risk comes to an end just a teeny bit sooner.
I can see it now in my mind's eye. I'm standing at the counter.
Yeah.
I have high deductible plan G, or conversely, high deductible plan F. If I had high deductible plan F and my bill was, you know, like $34,000, I could say, hey, I've got this coupon.
Yeah.
It's worth $200.
And then the girl on the other side of the counter would take it from you. She would look at it closely and say, this expired last month, sir.
That's right. This is done. Just put it back in your pocket.
That's
put
what it happens back in to your me. Pocket.
So I had to ask that because, again, I have no way of knowing why people do things in the insurance pricing business, but it didn't seem logical to me to price them both the same.
Well, I've got something coming up where I have to mention the fact that these insurance company decisions about pricing their products can often be very arbitrary. And people think, well, you know, this company has a dramatically skillful way of predicting their rates and all, da, 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 da. Often it's a bunch of boneheads sitting around in a room going, hey, you know, if we jack the price up on this, do you think people will still buy it? Oh, I don't know. They're kind of stupid. Yeah, that's exactly right. Randy was just, he was miming flipping a coin and having it land on his hand and then looking at it. So that's exactly what they do. They often flip coins. Or what happened to me was that I was the Midwest regional manager for a major West Coast insurance company. And somebody got it in his head that they didn't either like me or Chicago, where I was based. So all of a sudden, the prices of my products went sky high and I couldn't sell squat. And it was basically a decision, but some little bonehead sitting in a room somewhere who decided he was going to make my life a living hell. And I'll tell you, it worked.
It worked. Yeah. How much is your Chevy Impala? Oh, it's $4,000. Well, how much does Doug sell it for? $8,600. Let's have one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So that's the way it works a lot of times in the insurance business.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, you know, I have thoroughly enjoyed today. I'm glad to see you're back on wine because, you know, you were offline traveling across the country for a few days and you got there in one piece, which made me happy.
I'm glad to be back in the saddle. It's good to see you on the other side of the screen. So keep up the good work. I don't know. You're recruiting some assistants, apparently, from our fans while I was gone.
I'm working on getting a little, cadre of writers together.
Well, you know, it shows because your sparkling personality is even more sparkling than usual. I'll tell you what really irritates me is that we couldn't get my big boy announcer microphone working today. I'm disturbed about that.
He's got a $400 mic and we're using the one that, you know, what was it, about $4 on the laptop?
Came with the laptop, yeah. It wasn't even an option. It was so crappy. They just said you're stuck with it.
It's like this thing, you know, when you're a kid. Do you ever have those little, where you put a string between two cans?
No. Yeah. Well, okay, I've seen it done. We never did it. Because we lived so far apart from each other, we couldn't find enough string to really do the
job.
No
string. Okay, I got you. Well, you know, Doug, thank you so much for joining us today. We need to tell everybody thank you for joining us. We enjoy the heck out of it. we wouldn't have, you know, nearly as much fun on Tuesday and Thursday, or you get them on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but we actually record them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wouldn't have nearly as much fun without, you know, putting these together for you folks. We enjoy the heck out of it, and we hope you do too. But, you know, in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, just freshly relocated back to Illinois.
Freshly relocated. But go buy the book. Go buy Medicare for the Lazy Man at Amazon, and we'll meet you back here next time.
Sounds good. See y'all later.
Bye-bye.